Welcome to Shadowlands, a micro-podcast about strange, dark, weird fiction. On this Shadowlands, The Church in the High Street, a 1961 story written by Ramsay Campbell. I'm Gary Hollingsby, and not long ago I set myself the task of trying to read fiction written by members of what's called the Lovecraft Circle, writers like Robert Bloch, August Derleth, Clark Ashton Smith, Robert E. Howard, and of course H.P. Lovecraft. My recent reading has spiralled beyond those classic writers of weird tales to include contemporary authors like Ramsay Campbell, Thomas Ligotti, T.E.D. Klein, and Laird Barron. While I've been reading these sorts of stories, I've been getting to grips with what a weird tale actually is. H.P. Lovecraft insisted that a weird tale was more than just a horror or fantasy story, that it was something that evoked a profound sense of dread and contact with unknown powers and places. For Lovecraft, it was less about the plot, characterization, symbolism, or even psychology. Weird tales define themselves by conveying a bleak, desolate atmosphere. The word that crops up a number of times when people talk about this sort of outlook is eldritch, a word meaning uncanny, unearthly, weird, which today tends to be overused, but is a good reference point for stories of this type. I think that The Church in the High Street fits the description of being an eldritch tale. It presents desolation as the result of humans coming into contact with a horrifying alien cosmic force. It was originally called The Tomb Herd and written when Campbell was 15 or 16 years old. Campbell set it in New England and certainly went to town with the Lovecraftian references and youthful enthusiasm. The original is feverishly nasty, and the closing scenes of what The Tomb Herd actually are I found incredibly powerful as intensely eldritch horror. Campbell was guided by advice of August Derleth into revising the story, particularly in setting it in Britain rather than the usual Arkham locations. It's also a bit of a Christmas story, as the horrible happenings are linked with the festival of Yule, which is itself a very real and somewhat disturbing festival. If I had not been a victim of circumstances, I would never have gone to ancient Temp Hill. But I had very little money in those days. And when I recalled the invitation of a friend who lived in Temp Hill to become his secretary, I began to hope that this post, opened some months before, might still be available. I knew that my friend would not easily find someone to stay with him long. Not many would relish to stay in such a place of ill repute as Temp Hill. Thinking thus, I gathered into a trunk what few belongings I had, loaded it into a small sports car which I had borrowed from another friend, gone on a sea voyage, and drove out of London at an hour too early for the clamorous traffic of the city to have risen, away from the cell-like room where I had stayed in a tottering, blackened backstreet house. In the story, the narrator travels from London to Temp Hill, a decaying town in the Cotswolds, to work as secretary for his friend Albert Young, who's researching superstition for a book on witchcraft. Young had written to the narrator about his study of old occult books and his discovery of places in England where trans-spatial beings are worshipped. At Temp Hill, Young believed that there was a temple of Yog-Sothoth, and Yog-Sothoth is one of Lovecraft's cosmic monsters that live outside time and space and look like a mess of glowing globes. The narrator finds Temp Hill and the surrounding countryside to be pretty rotten and decaying. Young's house is in a terrible state. It's dilapidated. Young himself has disappeared, and one of his neighbours, who has luminously dark eyes, explains to the narrator what has happened to Young. This man explains that the church stood in the same location as a temple in another dimension, and that human worshippers conduct rites in order to open gates to let things in from the other side. Notes in Young's house also confirm the horror of the church and warn not to visit it after dark for fear of waking non-human things. And the final entry in Young's notes has the ink from the pen dragged across the page as if he had been snatched away mid-writing. The most engaging aspect of this story for me is how Campbell presents his setting. It's suitably bleak, primeval almost. There's grim, brooding plains that are sparsely inhabited with grey, diseased grass, bloated oak trees, sluggish, scum-covered streams, oozing marshes, trees that stick up like gnarled hands. The fictional village of Temp Hill itself is in a serious state of decay. Many of the buildings are collapsed or in a state of collapse and filled by what Campbell calls decayed old men with mindless stares and ragged children who are playing on patches of wasteland or splashing in orange pools. And there's even a skeletal bridge in the village. Campbell's pretty good at channeling Lovecraft in presenting just enough details of the monsters to make them sound terrifying. At one point in the story, the narrator looks at a photo and sees a nightmarish scene. A group of what seemed to be acolytes or hooded priests were depositing a body before a squatting monster, the latter a representation of that creature in somewhat greater detail. The being itself was so hysterically alien as to be indescribable. It was a glistening, pallid oval with no facial features whatsoever except for a vertical, slit-like mouth surrounded by a horny ridge. There were no visible members, but there was that which suggested that the creature could shape any organ at will. The creature was certainly only a product of some morbid artist's diseased mind, but the pictures were nevertheless oddly disturbing. Campbell also uses what I think is a pretty neat element of cosmic horror by having the creatures from elsewhere able to alter things about Temp Hill spatially. Campbell calls this disarranging space, so that they can alter the physical locations and disorient characters. And he used this idea in at least one more story by his that I've read. The cosmic horror Campbell includes is set definitely inside the Lovecraft mythos. In the story, the narrator finds his friend's research into myth cycles and describes legends about Cthulhu, the planet Yuggoth, the alternate dimension of the Dreamlands, the god Nial At-Hotep, and others. There's also a mention of the Lovecraft staple, the Necronomicon. The story ends with a moment of absolute and repulsive horror when the narrator realises what's actually happened to him, which I won't spoil, but it's quite shocking. I'm sure there's a dark humour hovering in the background as the horror that's revealed at the end is so very weird. The Church in the High Street isn't a complex story in any way, and my impression is that the narrative essentially is used to present some Lovecraftian cosmic horror ideas and then have the weird, shocking ending. It follows the pattern that a great number of these types of weird horror stories follow. Someone goes to a remote location, finds books or diaries about a horror, and then actually experiences the horror. Despite the simplicity, The Church in the High Street is enjoyable enough, though. More so when you find out that Campbell was about 16 when he wrote it. The story was originally published in Campbell's early short story collection, Dark Mind, Dark Heart, and reprinted a number of times. It's also in the recently republished edition of The Inhabitant of the Lake and Other Unwelcome Tenants by Drugstore Indian Press, in a version that includes the author's original drafts and August Derleth's editorial responses. Thanks for listening to this microcast. Let me know what you think, and especially any short weird fiction you think I'd like or should share. Music for this microcast is by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and this microcast was constructed using the Ferrite and Wavelength iOS apps and is hosted by Microblog.